so much, all of them, for joining the call. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for joining the call today. Now we will be moving on to our next session, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, which will be given by His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhuji from Canto 5, Chapter 13 and Text 16. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable time and association this morning to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are eagerly waiting for your PPT presentation which you will be given. Thank you so much Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Over to you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandot Pranam. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram 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 Hare. Okay. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. So we'll be discussing from the 5th canto, 13th chapter, 16th verse. Last 3-4 sessions I have just done overview. So this time I won't do it again, because it's, you know, you keep doing it again and again, it becomes quite boring. So let's do a regular Bhagavatam class only today. So yeah, so we will read the verse and we will read the translation and purport, and then we will see what we can learn from this verse. Prasajjati kvapi lata bhujashrayas tadashraya vyakta padadvijasprahah क्वचित् कदाचित् हरिचक्रतस्त्रसन् सक्यं विदत्ते बककंक गृद्रैः. So here Srila Prabhupada translates this in this particular way. He says, sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Of course, we all know that this is a allegorical presentation that is going on by Jada Bharat to Rahuguna. This is not literally that he takes shelter of creepers and he literally desires to hear the chirping of the birds. They have some inner meanings which will be discussed by Srila Prabhupada and the other acharyas. Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons and vultures. Okay, so what are the roaring lions and what is that crane, herons and vulture, and what is this creeper, and what are the birds which are chirping? What is the chirping of these birds? These things need to be understood. So Srila Prabhupada explains them as we discussed last time. We are in one sense, Rahuguna did not ask for a clarification. Rahuguna apparently understood what he was speaking. Jada Bharat was speaking. But Parikshit Maharaj could not understand. So he sought clarification from Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And Shukadeva Goswami, in the next chapter, he will clarify. He will decode this whole allegorical presentation. But our acharyas, Prabhupada and the other acharyas, they decode it right then and there in this chapter only. So the next chapter sounds actually quite redundant, because already we know. But for Parikshit Maharaj, it's so exciting. For him, everything is getting decoded. But for us, we already know. In one sense, it would be a repetition. So, purport. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, in the forest of the material world, there are many animals and birds, trees and creepers. Sometimes the living entity wants to take shelter of the creepers. In other words, he wants to be happy by being embraced by the creeper-like arms of his wife. So someone who is attached to household life, that's what he is talking about.
Hare Krishna, I cannot hear.
Hare Krishna, yes, Maharaj, you couldn't. Prabhuji? Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you on the call? I think he's there.
Yeah, it seems. It's
yeah, he's there, close. He's there.
He's
yeah.
there, but we cannot hear him.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
Okay, so so here, as we saw, that the lion, the death is compared to the roaring lion. So when he becomes old, he sometimes become afraid of imminent death, which is compared to a roaring lion. To save himself from lion's attack, he takes shelter of some bogus swamis, yogis, incarnations, pretenders, and cheaters. So they are compared to the herons, vultures, and cranes. They are the bogus swamis, pretenders, and cheaters. Being misled by the illusory energy in this way, he spoils his life. It is said, Harim vina naiva mritim taranti. No one can be saved from the imminent danger of death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada here extends this whole thing and he says, actually, to escape the fear of Hari, you have to take shelter of Hari. He says, Hari means lion, Hari means Lord Krishna. Lion here refers to death. If you want to escape the fear of Hari, death, then you will have to take shelter of Lord Hari. That's what he says. The word Hari, he indicates it's lion as well as the Supreme Lord. To be saved from the hands of Hari, the lion of death, one must take the shelter of the Supreme Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People with a poor fund of knowledge take shelter of non-devotee cheaters and pretenders in order to be saved from the clutches of death. But of course, they are cheated. In the forest of the material world, the living entity first of all wants to be very happy by taking shelter of the creeper-like arms of his wife and hearing her sweet voice. Later, he sometimes takes shelter of so-called gurus and sadhus who are like crane, herons and vultures. Thus, he is cheated both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Right? So, basically, in this, he is talking about two basic things. One, he is talking about taking shelter of the creeper-like arms of his wife, which means attachment to household or life. And second, he talks about being cheated by the bogus gurus and swamis and pretenders like that. So these are the two topics that we will try to discuss today. Like, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I will at least start and see how far we can get. First we will discuss this theme of householder life and Krishna consciousness, compatible or incompatible. So we'll discuss on this theme first. So we will take a few examples. What I'm going to do is very simple. We are going to take a few verses which talk about this theme from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we will try to see what the acharyas are commenting on this. You know, we'll be seeing from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada's commentaries to this to these verses. 4-5 verses I will take, and then we will see how what is being mentioned about household life and Krishna consciousness, whether they are compatible or not. Okay, so first example that we will take is the example of Brahmaji's prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Tavad ragadayas tenas tavat kara graham graham tavan mohungri nigado yavat krishna natejana. He says, my dear Lord Krishna, this is Brahmaji offering prayers in the 10th canto after the Brahma Vimohan Lila. So Krishna, Brahmaji says, O Krishna, yavat natejana, as long as people do not become your devotees, na tejana, as long as they don't become your devotees, tavad, till then, ragadayas tenaha. Raga means material attachments. Adaya means etc., which means material desires. Stenaha means they will remain thieves, stealing away all our spiritual benefits. And Tavat Karagraham Graham, until that time, the house will remain prison, completely imprisoning him to this material world. Tavat Mohaha Angri Nigado. Angri Nigado means foot shackles. You know, the chain that is tied to the leg and it is tied to a pillar or something so that you cannot move. So, Mohaha means affectionate feelings towards the family members will remain foot shackles as long as Yavat Krishna Natejana, as long as people do not become your devotees. So, which means when people become devotees, then for them, material attachments, even though they may remain a little bit, but it will not actually bind them to this material world. And their attachment to their house will not remain actually a foot shackle. Their house will not remain a prison house, and their affectionate feelings towards their family members will not act as foot shackles binding them to this material world. So purport, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, this was the first chapter when Prabhupada's disciples took over commenting. So this is actually Brahmaji talking about the residents of Vrindavan. And of course, this equally holds good to any devotee who is spiritually minded, who is practicing Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam, pure devotional service. Any practitioner of pure devotional service also, this applies. So he says, apparently, the residents of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children, and performing religious ceremonies. They are simple householders. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna. Everything is connected to the loving service of Krishna, which means Krishna is the center. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness and thus exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. So while they are in home, they are actually liberated. Then, otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage to the material world. So, householder life, even though, there are verses in Bhagavatam which may seem like very heavy and criticizing householder life, actually. Nate vidu swarthagatim hi Vishnu durashayaye bahirarthamanina andayatandair upaniyamana tepisha tantra urudamni baddha. You know, like blind leading a blind, both of them will fall into a deep dark well of material existence. The verse before that, Prahlad Maharaj tells Hiranyakashipu that anyone recollects that verse? This is 7.5 point something. Prahlad Maharaj speaking to Hiranyakashipu. He says that vanam gatoyad harimashrayeta, he says. Of course, not this, but in one of the earlier verses, he says, you give up this household life, which is like a deep, dark well, and go to the forest and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead like that. There are many such verses which seem to criticize household life. But actually, if you see the way Prabhupada has translated them, either in the word-to-word meaning or in the translation, Prabhupada, rather than talking about household life, he actually translates it as material consciousness. A desire for material enjoyment, attachment to material enjoyment. So, yeah, tat sadhu manye asuravarya dehinam sada samudvignadiyam asatgrahat hitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gatoyad harimashrayet. So he says that Andakupam, Griham, he is comparing the house to a deep dark well, while here it is compared to a prison house. But when, as long as the person has not become a devotee and his family members are unwilling to become devotees, then the house can remain a prison house. But when both are actually devotees, then it is not. That is why he says Yavat Krishna Netejana, because Brahmaji was thinking, what is this Vrindavan Vasis? They seem to be very mundanely attached. They are not performing very elaborate pujas and worship of the Supreme Lord. They are just absorbed. Their life is running around this small boy, Krishna. So how are they going to get liberated? But then when he realized the truth, he understood, actually now I understand Krishna. Tavad ragadayastena tavat kara graham graham tavan mohongri nigado yavat krishna natejana. This is a problem only for non-devotees. Attachment to the material world, attachment to family members, affectionate dealings with family members, attachment to house, all these things will bind a person to the material world only as long as one does not become a devotee. When one becomes a devotee, within the same house you get sadhu sangha, right? He says, thus, one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically but without Krishna consciousness. So the key is Krishna consciousness. This is the key. If this is there, then nothing can bind. By focusing our passionate attachment on our family and society, we are completely deviated from the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Right? Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of progressive spiritual duties. You see, this is a very wonderful sentence, very beautiful sentence. Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of our progressive spiritual duties. It is non-different actually. In conclusion, by studying the extraordinary status of the residents of Vrindavan, we can see that the essential qualities of their lives is pure Krishna consciousness, the rendering of loving service to the Lord without a trace of material desire or mental speculation. This is the key. So as long as we can inspire devotees to take up to Krishna consciousness within the home, vanaprastha or sannyas is also not needed actually. It is not needed. This is the key. Right? Because ultimately the key is devotees who can inspire. If that association is available within one's home, then there is no need for even leaving home. What is the purpose of leaving home then? Right? So just that one has to learn to actually make it very Krishna conscious. That is the most important key. So he says, such loving service to the original personality of Godhead immediately creates the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God, within the home, within one's house. Such loving service to the original personality of Godhead. I have seen houses where the standard of deity worship, not just in terms of punctuality and cleanliness, but the mood of serving their deities and their attachment to deities is more exemplary than actually temple worship. The whole family comes together as Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Jedina grihe bhajana deki grihete goloka bai. Charana siddhu dekiya ganga sukana sima pai. So, whenever I see Krishna's worship happening very nicely at my home, I see that my home has transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. So, that is the thing. Here it is mentioned, wherever such loving service to the original personality of God exists, it immediately creates the atmosphere of Shri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God. So this is Srila Prabhupada's disciples' commentary. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says to the same verse, the sannyasis will object that the inhabitants of Vraja are fallen in the net of material life in the form of attachment to sons and wife. Why are they so attached to their sons? Why are they so attached to their wives? Why are they so attached to this one boy? However, what to speak of the householders of Vraja? Even your ordinary devotees in other places are superior to the sannyasis. This is Brahmaji telling Krishna. What to speak of the Vrajavasis, O Krishna? Even your ordinary devotees in other places, like, you know, you can say, you know, some of you are from East Coast, some of you are from West Coast, some of you are from India also, I identify. It could be any place. Brahmaji says, even your ordinary devotees in other places are superior to the sannyasis, which means there is no need to take up sannyas. The purpose of sannyas is to absorb one's mind in serving Krishna. If that is possible, if that kind of association is available at home, what is the purpose of giving up home? Attachment and aversion are great thieves because they steal the great treasure of great bliss from the soul. The souls are bound up in the prison of household life so that they cannot criticize the Supreme Lord after having lost their wealth. Right? As long as people do not get the mercy of your devotees and become your followers, they remain in this position. They will be bound by all these things. The moment one comes in touch with the devotees, as Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur describes, Satam Kripa, Mahat Seva, Agyata Sukriti, and then it is Shraddha or faith. So a devotee becomes compassionately disposed towards another living entity, then he engages him favorably in some service in order to attract his appreciation. When he appreciates, he accumulates some agyata sukriti, favorable experience, and then that accumulates to become shraddha, faith in Krishna consciousness. When one gets the mercy, satam kripa, mercy of your devotees and become your followers, they remain in this, as long as they don't get, they remain in this position. When they become your devotees, they develop attachment for bhakti and aversion to things obstructing bhakti. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. They become absorbed in you. Then, when family members come together, they inspire each other to get absorbed in Krishna. This is what happens. So, every interaction enhances their absorption in Krishna. That is the perfection, right? These thieves, attraction and repulsion, expecting to grasp the great treasure of unlimited knowledge and bliss, when they become fixed in you, give up their bad qualities and instead do good service to others. You see, this is a very, very important sentence. I want you to focus here. These thieves, what is thieves? Raga and dvesha. Raga and Desha for an ordinary person is directed towards material things, but for a devotee, it is directed towards Anukullesa Sankalpo. He has raga towards anything that is favorable for bhakti and dvesha towards anything that is unfavorable for bhakti. They are actually thieves for a material person. These thieves, expecting, who generally grasp the great treasure of unlimited knowledge and bliss, when they become fixed in you, you refers to Krishna, they give up their bad qualities, which means they cease to remain thieves and instead do good service to others. That very attachment to that family member becomes the source of emancipation. I remember, I have not seen this with my eyes, but I have heard very vivid description of this happening. I will not take names, but there was one devotee family, very, very wonderful devoted family. And they have done tremendous service for the devotees, you know, hosting them, cooking for them, giving donation, and in amazing ways. When you know, there was no temple practically in that particular city, and literally, you know, the whole foundation for an ISKCON temple in that particular city happened in that particular house. The whole family got together and assisted, actually. Then after a few years, you know, the temple came up, and then they went completely in the background, but still the whole family was engaged in amazing devotional service, with their Gauranitha and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra being the center of their lives. And the son completes his college studies, and he gets a job in a foreign country. He moves there, and after many years, actually, while his son was in that foreign country, the mother falls terminally ill, and she is going to leave her body. So at that time, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj came and visited them, and he asked that, Mataji, I am sure you must not be, you have perfected your life. I am sure you must not have any, you know, unfulfilled desires. I hope, Maharaj said like that. And Mataji said, Maharaj, I have one unfulfilled desire. She said, I want to meet my son before I leave this body. And because Maharaj had known this family for such a long time, he really understood what she meant. And Maharaj said, that will be the perfection of your life. If you get to see your most exalted devotee's son before you leave your body, that will be the perfection of your life. He said, I pray that this desire of yours gets fulfilled. And actually, the son came before the mother passed away, and then she passed away. And then Maharaj, it's not just to pacify her, but even after she passed away, Maharaj very clearly mentioned, this is perfection of life, actually. So if the whole family is dedicated to worshipping Krishna, where looking at each other, one is reminded of Krishna. They are encouraging each other to become more Krishna conscious. This is actually the perfection of life. Right? Okay, we will move ahead, and then we will continue this discussion, take this discussion a little further. So the house, which was a prison by performance of pious and impious activities, binding them up, becomes a means of attaining the eternal dham through activities of serving you and singing your glories. So if in your house there are activities of serving Krishna and singing Krishna's glories, or sitting and hearing you know, Bhagavatam class like you all are doing right now, then the house no longer binds them up, but it becomes a means of attaining the eternal dham. The very house becomes the means of attaining the eternal dham. When the jiva becomes the devotee of Krishna, then the bewilderment from objects, that is formerly wife and sons, becomes the cause of expression of prema. See, ultimately, to progress in the path of devotional service, one needs, so I'll just write it down, for devotional progress, right, you need two things. One is devotion, and the second is affection, right? So you need both. That is why actually affection between fellow practitioners, this is very vital. Otherwise, why would Srila Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Instruction write Dadati Pratigrinnati Guhyamakyati Prichati Bhungte Bojayate Cheva Shadvidam Preeti Lakshanam? Why should there be Preeti between Vaishnavas? Because the path is long. One of the acharyas write in the commentary to this verse, Nectar of Instruction, he writes that the path is long, and if you have very pleasant company, this long path becomes a very pleasant journey. But if we don't have a very pleasant company, then it becomes very difficult. So therefore, to traverse this path without facing dejection or disappointment, you need both devotion and affection. So the key is, where there is a devotional corpus, one should learn to sow the seeds of devotion, sorry, affection, right? And where you see an affection corpus, one should learn to sow the seeds of devotion. Okay. The first path is taken by the renunciants, the brahmacharis and sannyasis, where they have identified a devotional corpus, a temple or something like that. So successful brahmacharis are those who, having attained a devotional corpus, they have learned the art of sowing seeds of affection. Then the whole thing can sustain, which means if they have learned to establish loving relationships with other fellow brahmacharis, then it becomes very easy. The path becomes very easy. But not many people, it's not easy for many people. That's why many times people may leave. And where there is an affection corpus, that is family. Okay. Where there is an affection corpus, if a person learns to sow the seeds of devotion, this is actually householder life. So if you learn to sow the seeds of devotion, which means if you manage to inspire all the family members to become devotees, then the house flourishes. So one of the two, one has to learn the art of the art of successfully sowing the seeds of affection where one sees a devotional corpus, or one should learn the art of successfully sowing the seeds of devotion where one finds an affection corpus. But if both are there, if within the home, if the family members are all devotees, you know, there is already affection present there, Even before becoming Krishna conscious, there is dadati pratigrinnati guhyam akhyati prichati bhungte bhojayate cheva. Shadvidam priti lakshanam are there in most of the families, in most of the functional families. You have these six elements of priti. It's already there. And the perfection is, if one successfully sows the seeds of devotion there, if he manages to inspire them to take up to the practice of Krishna consciousness, if one manages to fan the spark of devotion that is there in the family members, nothing like that. You have a very affectionate devotee association right at home. And that's what is being described here. So he says, how can the sannyasis compare to this? My son Sanat Kumar, of course Brahmaji is speaking, and the four Kumaras are the sons of Brahmaji. He says, my son Sanat Kumar has said the following to show the inferiority of such people and superiority of the devotee. Okay, so he's talking about the sannyasis. The sannyasis may ridicule the householders as long as they are not devotees. But a householder devotee is better than any sannyasi. I mean, we are not talking about devotee sannyasis. We are talking about, the jnani sannyasi. And the four Kumaras, they say to Prithu Maharaj in the fourth canto, very famous verse, Krichro mahaniha bavarnavama plavesham shadvargana kramasukena titirishanti tattvam harer bhagavato bhajani yamangrim kritvodupam vyasanam uttara dustararnam. So he says, mahan krichraha, there is great suffering for whom? Aplavesham, for those who do not have a boat. Boat for what? Iha bavarnavam, in order to cross this ocean of samsara, if someone does not have a boat, it is very difficult. They can't swim across the ocean. Not only that, shad varga nakram, there are six types of sharks or crocodiles which are there in that ocean, right? Titirishanti, they can only hope to cross, but they cannot cross. Asukena, because they don't have the right boat, right ship to cross over the ocean. These are the jnanis. Tat, therefore, tvam, O you, Prithu Maharaj, uttara, you should cross over this ocean. What is the nature of this ocean? Vyasanam, dustararnam. This ocean of samsara, which is very, very difficult to cross. Udupam kritva, by making a boat. What will I make the boat out of? He says, harer bhagavato angrim. Make a boat out of the lotus feet of the Lord, which is bhajaniyam, which is the most worshipable thing. So as long as one manages to make a boat out of the lotus feet of the Lord, which means as long as one becomes a devotee, then he can cross. Right? And the inhabitants of Vraja have even thousands of times much greater prema than the grihastha, than these grihastha devotees. Though you are the Purna Brahma, you show yourself as dependent upon these devotees by taking the form of their son. So in this way, he glorifies the Vrajavasis. Right? So this is the first example of the Vrajavasis, where Brahmaji says, Tavad Dragadayastena Tavat Kara Graham Graham Tavan Mohongri Nigado Yavat Krishna Tejana. Only as long as one does not become a devotee, the house will act as a prison house. The attachment and aversion will remain thieves, and the affectionate feelings for their family members will remain foot shackles binding them to this material world. Only as long as they don't become devotees, right? Second example we will take. Again, interestingly, Brahmaji only is speaking this verse, but not in the 10th canto, but in the 3rd canto. And he is offering these prayers to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So he says, Tavad bhayam dravina deha suhrid nimittam shokas priha paribavo vipulascha lobaha tavan mametya sadavagraha artimulam yavan natengrimabayam pravrinita lokaha. similar verse where he says, Yavad Lokaha, as long as people of this world, na pravrinita, do not completely accept te angrim, your lotus feet. Completely accept means they are mixing it. There is mixing of karma, jnana, or yoga, or demigod worship. As long as people do not take complete shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which means as long as people do not take shelter of the practice of pure devotional service, what is the nature of that? Abhayam, it gives fearlessness. So he says, Tavad Bayam, till then one has to suffer material existence. Caused by Dravina, Deha, Suhrid, Nimittam. Nimittam means caused by. Dravina is wealth, Deha is body, Suhrid are friends. Attachment to wealth, body or friends will give fear of samsara. Yavad lokaha na pravrinita te angrim. Only as long as one does not become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Not only that, shokaha, lamentation, spriha, hankering, paribhavaha, defeat, vipulascha lobha, overpowering greed, mama iti asad avagraha, or they have excessive attachment, arthimulam, which is the cause of prolonged material existence. So basically Brahmaji says, as long as people do not surrender to you, take shelter of your lotus feet, till then they will have to suffer the fear of material existence, which manifests in the form of attachment to wealth, body, friends, lamentation, hankering, defeat, and so on. Right? So here Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, but the devotees, if they have wives, children, and wealth, are also materialists. What do you say? Even devotees have wives, devotees have children, devotees have wealth. So they must also be considered to be materialists. They are not sannyasis. They have not given up everything and gone to forest to live. Within the house, instead of a television, they have an altar of Krishna. But other than that, everything is same. They also, other people also go to work. They also go to work. Other people earn. They also earn. Other people fend for their family. They also fend for their family. Other people beget children. They also beget children. So just that their nature of entertainment is different. The other people may watch TV and entertain themselves. These people are entertaining themselves by worshipping Krishna. So what is the difference? They should also be considered as materialists only, right? So he says, no, this is not true, Brahmaji says. Materialists suffer continued material existence caused by attachment to wealth, body, and friends. This existence consists of lamentation, desire, defeat, and great greed as long as they do not accept your lotus feet as having power. When they have faith in your lotus feet, surrender to your lotus feet, as long as they don't do that, they will continue to suffer continued material existence. Right? Or to speak in the opposite way, if they accept those feet completely, then by attachment to you, they will give up attachment to wealth, etc. Not that they will stop earning. They will earn for Krishna's pleasure. And if one is a devotee and has attachment to wealth, someone may say, Prabhuji, what you say is right. But you know what? Actually, I am worshipping Krishna, but I have attachment to wealth also. And it is real. I am not faking, right? So here Brahmaji says, and even if one may have attachment to wealth, etc., one should still not worry. Why? He says, the bite of a snake whose two front teeth have been extracted does not cause suffering. Thus, just accepting your feet as worthy of service destroys the very cause of material existence. So what he is telling is, just accept the lotus feet of Krishna, keep worshipping it. One day you will see that materialistic attachment towards wealth, family members will vanish, and it will get dovetailed into a very nice spiritual affection and spiritual affinity. That's what he's telling. And he quotes the same verse, Tavat Ragadayastena Stavat Karagraham Graham. The word Tavat has been used in both verses, making the case very strong. Right? Tavat Karagraham Graham, Tavat Mohongri Negada, Yavat Krishnantejana. And this verse also starts with Tavat, what is it? Tavat Bayam Dravina Deha Suhrit Nimittam Shokas Praha Paribhava Vipulascha Lobha, like that he says. Okay, anyway, there is a purport also. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport. We are just reading this just to get a perspective of, can Krishna consciousness and householder life coexist together? If yes, what are the elements of that kind of a householder life? That's what we are trying to understand. One may question, Srila Prabhupada writes, how one can always think of the Lord in regard to his name, fame, quality, etc., if one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs? If one is embarrassed by the thoughts of family affairs, how one can think about Krishna's name, fame, quality, and pastimes? Everyone in the material world is full of thoughts about how to maintain his family, how to protect his wealth, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc. Thus, he is always in fear and lamentation, trying to keep up with the status quo. How I can maintain my status quo like that, right? So, in answer to this question, this verse spoken by Brahma is very appropriate, Prabhupada says. A pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as the proprietor of his home. Like if you read great devotees like Yamuna Mataji's biography and all, if you read, Yamuna Mataji, Dindarni Mataji writes that in their so many decades of living together, she says, not once she has seen Yamuna Mataji address their home as their home. She always called it Shishi Radha Banbihari's home. Never. She said in 20, 30 years of their living together, more than that. She said, never once I have ever observed, even unconsciously, Yamuna Mataji telling someone, you come to our home. Never. She would always say, hey, come and visit Banvihari. Come and visit Radha Banvihari. Come to Radha Banvihari's ashram. Like that. So she never thought. This can be cultivated. Even if you may not think like this now, it takes cultivation. So Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as a proprietor of his home. He surrenders everything unto the supreme control of the Lord. And thus he has no fear for maintaining his family or protecting the interests of his family. Not that he does not do, but he has trust in Krishna. Because of this surrender, he no longer has any attraction for wealth, for personal gratification, right? Even if there is attraction for wealth, it is not for sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord. A pure devotee may be attracted to accumulating wealth just like an ordinary man, but the difference is that a devotee acquires money for the service of the Lord, whereas the ordinary man acquires money for his sense enjoyment, right? Thus, the acquisition of wealth by a devotee is not a source of anxieties as is the case for worldly men. So this is same thing Prabhupada is also mentioning here. And because a pure devotee accepts everything in the sense of serving the Lord, the poisonous teeth of accumulation of wealth are extracted. If a snake has its poison removed and bites a man, there is no fatal effect. Similarly, wealth accumulated in the cause of the Lord has no poisonous teeth and the effect is not fatal. A pure devotee is never entangled in material worldly affairs, even though he may remain in the world like an ordinary man. Like that. So this is the second example again of Brahmaji. Let's take the third example of Kunti Maharani in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kunti Maharani says, Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Swakeshumi Sneha Pashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. She is addressing Krishna. Oh Vishvesha, O Lord of all the universes. O Vishvatman, O the soul of all universe. Vishvamurte, O form of all the universes, personified universe. Ata Chindi, you should please cut what? Me imam dridam snehapasham. My dridam, very tight or strong, snehapasham, the bonds of affection. Swakeshu, that I have for my relatives. Who? Pandushu, the Pandavas, and Vrishnishu, the Vrishnis. From her paternal side, she's attached to the Pandavas. From her maternal side, she's attracted. She belongs to the Vrishni clan. So please cut this these bonds of affection from the Pandavas and Vrishnis, because I am suffering because of that. I am attached to both. That is why if you choose to stay, I will be happy on behalf of the Pandavas, but I will feel bad for the Vrishnis. If you go, I will feel happy on behalf of the Vrishnis and I will feel bad on behalf of the Pandavas. I don't want this kind of an attachment. Please cut these bonds of affection. Like that she says. So Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says, both your departure from here and coming here are unfortunate. That's what she says. Departure for the Pandavas and coming here for the Yadavas. Right? Since she ends up with a disturbed mind in either case, Kunti prays to cut off her ties of affection with both parties. You are the Lord of all universes. You give life to all the universes. Though you are the form of the universe, being an ocean of mercy, you are always attentive in regards to the welfare of the Yadavas and the Pandavas. Will I die uselessly thinking of their welfare? Like that. So, Krishna says, then do you want realization of Brahman? What do you want? Because if you cut your affection for the Yadavas, you will cut your affection for me also, because I am also a part of the Yadava clan. So Kunti Maharani says, Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madupate sakrit ratim udvahata dadda gange vogam udanvati. She says, me matihi, let my mind, ananya vishaya, without being distracted by any other material object, asakrit, constantly, udvahatad, may it flow, ratim tvayi, may it repeatedly carry its affection towards you. May the vehicle of my mind carry the substance of affection towards you. And who are you? Madhupate. You are the chief of the Madhu dynasty. Gangaiva, just like Mother Ganga, Udanvati Adda, she very spontaneously flows towards the ocean, right? Carrying a full stream of water towards the ocean. Whichever obstacle comes, she either goes, she jumps over them or bends around them, but somehow she finds a way to the ocean, carrying a full stream of water. Similarly, let my mind carry without any obstacles or overcoming all the obstacles, let my mind carry affection towards you. That's what she says. So, when Krishna asks, if you cut your affection for the Yadavas, you will cut your affection for me also. So she says, may my mind hold affection for you without any obstacle. Udvaha means to flow strongly. The mind should not think of anything else. Your devotees, which means both the Pandavas and Vrishnis, are non-different from you. And thus, without affection for them, affection for you cannot take place. So if you have devotees at home who have affection for the Lord, without affection for them, why should we go around searching for people and trying to make them into devotees and take their association when that ready-made association is available at home? One should do both. That's the point. So she indicates here that without affection for your devotees in the form of Pandavas and Vrishnis, I cannot have affection for you. It is not possible that this could please you. This I know. Therefore, let my mind have attraction for no one except you and your devotees. This is the explanation of the Acharyas, right? Twayi me ananya vishaya. Even though she says twayi, only you, but you includes Krishna and Krishna's devotees. As in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says that kritva harim prema bajam priyavarga samanvitam bhaktim vashikaroti iti Shri Krishna akarshini mata. He says that bhakti is called Shri Krishna akarshini because it not only attracts Krishna, but it attracts the devotees also and makes them mad. Right? So I pray to cut affectionate bonds with the Pandavas and Yadavas who are your devotees. But since it is a prayer in front of you, it means cutting only the material affection which arises from bodily identification. This is a very important point. So cut the material aspect of my affection, but don't cut the devotional aspect of my affection to these family members, whom I see them as very exalted devotees also, right? It is not cutting the affectionate relationship with you. I want to cut that affection which causes bondage. Just as the Ganga carries a full stream of water to the ocean, the shelter of small and large rivers, may my mind also carry its affection to you, who are the shelter of all the devotees. Just as the Ganga does not consider any obstacles on its course, my mind also should not consider any obstacles that may rise while thinking of you. That is what she's praying to Krishna. So this is the example of Kunti Maharani. So she clarifies that the material aspect of that affection you please cut, but don't cut my ties with the Pandavas and Vrishnis because they are exalted devotees. How can I love you without loving your family? Right? So we were thinking that Prabhuji, you are, like we saw the example also, there is a verse that talks about that. What if, look, I am a devotee, my family members are a devotee, but let me try to be honest. My attraction to wealth, my attraction to my family members are not purely on spiritual platform. I have material affection also. Let me be frank with you. So I will be bound to this material world and I cannot escape samsara, right? So Krishna says in Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto, Bhadyamanopi Madbhakto Vishayair Ajitendriya Prayah Pragalbaya Bhaktya Vishayair Nabibhuyate Madbhaktaha. If my devotee Ajitendriya, he may not have fully conquered his senses, which means the senses are not always engaged for the pleasure of Krishna. Sometimes the desire for sense gratification may also be there. So what to do? So he says, Vishayair Bhadyamanopi, he may be harassed by material desires or material affection for the family or material attachment to the wealth that he is earning. But Prayaha Pragalbaya Bhaktya, but because of his generally strong bhakti, which means he may be overcome by those kind of attachment, but when he is in good senses, when he is in good association, when he is practicing strong bhakti, because of that even though it may be intermittent, but because of that intermittent practice of strong bhakti, vishayair nabibhuyate, he will not be defeated by sense gratification, which means sense gratification will not have the last laugh. Krishna will have the last laugh. His affection for Krishna, his bhakti, which is generally whenever you know, when he is in good senses, when he is practicing proper devotional service, that will protect him. Which means gradually it will remove those material attachments. That's what he's telling here. Putting aside the topic of the devotee who has developed bhava, the devotee at the beginning of bhakti is also successful. I am a beginner, Prabhu. Is it possible for me? He says, yes. Why not? By bhakti, which is generally strong, what to speak of bhakti, which is very strong? The devotee cannot be overcome by material enjoyment. Which means he will not enter into the realm of karma and his subsequent birth will not be decided by his karma. Right? The words also suggest the following. Just as a jnani who commits a sinful act will be criticized, his position as a jnani is denied. He is called as a vantasi or a drinker of his own vomit. I will not go into the meaning of this verse. But the devotee who commits sin, not even sin, he may have some trace material attachments, or even he may have sometimes very strong material attachments. He is not criticized and his position as a devotee is not denied. This is what Krishna tells in Apichet Suduracharo Bhajate Mama Nanyabak Sadureva Samantavya Samyak Vivasito Hisaha. Like that. He should be considered a sadhu. Though the devotee is distressed by sense objects, he is not overcome. Because both verbs are in the present tense, it implies that even while being harassed by sense objects, he is not really harassed since bhakti is present. It will protect. So he gives, a person who is attacked by the weapons of an enemy cannot be defeated because of the presence of his bravery. As long as he does not give up his bravery, he cannot be defeated by the weapons of his enemy. So as long as one does not give up bhakti, one will not be completely defeated by the desire for sense gratification. His practice of bhakti will slowly eliminate those desires. That's what he says. Okay. And finally, the last example of, again, Vrajavasis. Iti Nandadayo Gopaha Krishna Rama Katam Muda Kurvanto Ramamanascha Navindan Bhavavedanam. It is mentioned. So he says, Iti Nandadayo Gopaha. In this way, the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj, Krishna Rama Katam Muda Kurvantaha, they enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balram. Ramamanascha, and they were deriving great transcendental pleasure. Navindan Bhavavedanam. And they could not even perceive material tribulations. This is a famous verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, seated in the meeting room, so they would meet. What would be the topic of this discussion? They discussed again and again about the naughtiness of the boy and his killing of Vatsasur and Bakasur. And they composed songs which they sang again and again. Katam Kurvantaha. I mean, these are very elderly people. These are very responsible people. These are actually leaders of Vrindavan. They are supposed to come together and discuss about public welfare schemes or about whether everyone in that village is properly following their religious duties or not. This is what responsible elders who are guiding a particular village, this is what they are supposed to talk about. But these people are coming together and talking about child's play. Right? And it is mentioned that other elderly cowherd men coming from other places informed Nanda about liberation from the material world. They said, Prabhu, please don't get me wrong. You are a very you are a leader of this community, at least you should know better, right? This life, human birth is not meant to come together and discuss prajalpa. Human birth is meant to come together and find a solution to birth, death, old age and disease and aspire towards liberation. You should come and talk about those subject matters. Why are you just wasting your time coming together and discussing about your child's play? Don't you want to escape this suffering of this material world? And the Vrajavasis would think, material world? Suffering? What are you talking about? We are not suffering. We are enjoying. Navindan bhava vedanam, bhavasya vedanam. They did not know the pain of material existence or pay attention to knowledge of material existence. They were not thinking like that. So they would say, you know what? Half of your life is gone. Why do you remain immersed in discussing about child, family and wife? Why don't you concentrate on knowledge, vairagya, austerity and remembrance of Lord Narayana to get deliverance from the material world? Don't you want to get delivered from this suffering of this material world? How long? See, how old are you? Is this the age to come together and discuss prajalpa like this? Even though requested in this way, Nanda and other cowherd men did not pay any attention to that. Bhavasya vedanam na avindan. So Bhagavatam states the exalted nature of the cowherd men and women. These cowherd men and women are not touched by the material world born out of ignorance. So similarly, anyone within this material world who is engaged in discussion of Krishna Katha, so that is the means of deliverance. It could be family members, it could be brahmacharis, it could be sannyasis coming together, it could be anyone. As long as Krishna is at the center, as long as the subject matter is about Krishna, then that is perfect. Right? So, okay. So therefore, how does a household transform into Vrindavan? So I thought of covering two topics. I could cover only one topic. So this subsection, we will just sing this bhajan of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he gives, of course, many bhajans he has written, but this one bhajan just comes in in his book Sharanagati, where this is a bhajan written about Anukulyasya Sankalpo, how one should accept everything that is favorable for bhakti. So even if in a household life, when these things are accepted, then the house transforms into Vrindavan. Right? So we will see one paragraph after another paragraph, and then we will end. We will not take the second topic today. Okay. So, he says, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Premalati Karamula. He says, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. The dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, bhajana anukula. It is very famous. It is very favorable for one's progress of bhakti. Now, what is the meaning of Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu? What does it indicate? Does it literally mean dust? Of course, it does literally mean dust also. But what else does it mean? Bhakata Seva. Bhakta Seva, serving the devotees. He says, Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi. Bhakta, serving the devotees, is the highest supreme perfection. He does not say serving devotees is the means to attain highest perfection. He says serving devotees is highest perfection. Prema Latikara Mula. And this is the root of the tender creeper of divine love. This is the root of prema. This is the root of prema latika, the creeper of prema bhakti. So the first thing which is anukul is service to devotees. If this is there, it could be devotees staying in that house only. But if that mood of serving is there, then this is very anukul. Then the house becomes Vrindavan. Then, Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori Krishna Basati Basati Boli Parama Adare Bori. Madhavatiti means days which are very dear to Krishna, like Ekadashi and Janmashtami. Bhakti Janani, these are the birthplace of devotion. Jatane Palana Kori, with great endeavor, with great care, if one practices them in one's house, then the house becomes Vrindavan. Krishna basati basati boli parama adare bori. And with great reverence, the greatest reverence and love, I choose as my dwelling place the transcendental abode of Shri Krishna. It could be a holy place where Krishna performed his pastimes, or it could be installing the deities or welcoming the deities at one's own home. That is also Krishna basati basati boli parama adare bori. Right? Then Gaura amar jesabastane koralo brahmana range se sabastana heribo ami pranayi bakata sange. Gaura amar jesabastane, wherever my Lord Gaur Sundar has visited, Koralo Brahmana Range, has traveled and performed his pastimes, Se Sabastana Heribo Ami Pranayi Bhakata Sange. I wish to visit all those places in the association of loving devotees, which means devotees who have love towards Krishna and devotees who have love towards the holy places where Krishna has performed his pastimes, and the devotees who have love towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has visited those places. So, as long as one has this attachment, Gaura Amar Jesabastane Koralo Brahmana Range Sesabastana Heribo Ami Pranayi Bhakata Sange, which means at least once in a while, if the family together visits those places, then this is very favorable. The eagerness to go for yatras, if it is there in a family, then that house is Vrindavan. Right? Mridanga vadya shunite mana avasara sadayache gauravihita kirtana shuni ananda hrudenache. Mridanga vadya shunite mana avasara sadayache. My mind always begs to hear the music of the mridanga. Gaura vihita kirtana shuni ananda hridaye nache. And when I hear the kind of kirtan that was established by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my heart dances in ecstasy. Ananda hridaye nache. This can happen at one's home, right? Mridanga and kirtan, everyday devotees come together. Mangalarti, or at least Darshanarti, or at least Gaurarti in the evening, right? And then he says, Jugala Murti Dekhiya Mora Parama Ananda Hoy Prasada Seva Korite Hoy Sakala Prapancha Jaya. He says, I feel supreme bliss. Jugala Murti Dekhiya Mora Parama Ananda Hoy. I feel ecstatic and blissful seeing the deity forms of Shri Radha and Krishna. Prasada seva korite hoy sakala prapancha jay. And just by honoring the Lord's prasadam, I shall conquer all the worldly illusions. So whichever household where there is Yugala Murti, the forms of the deities which are worshipped, and the residents of that house become joyful on seeing the forms of the deities, in serving the deities, and they joyfully honor the remnants of the food which are offered to the deities, then that house is Vrindavan. जे दिन गृहे भजन देखी गृह दे गोलोक भाय चरण सीधु देखिया गंगा सुकन सीमा पाय। जे दिन गृहे भजन देखी गृहे ते गोलोक भाय। एवरी डे गोलोक वृंदावन अपियर्स इन माई होम वेन आई सी लॉर्ड हरी बीइंग वर्शिप्ड देर। चरण सीधु देखिया गंगा एंड वेन एवर आई सी गंगा विच इज चरण सीधु विच इज अ नेक्टर एमिनेटिंग फ्रॉम द लोटस फीट ऑफ कृष्णा सुखन सीमा पाय माई जॉय नोस नो बाउंड्स वेन आई सी गंगा देवी एंड रिमेंबर दैट दिस इज द लिक्विड नेक्टर एमिनेटिंग फ्रॉम द लोटस फीट ऑफ कृष्णा। Right, this can happen at home, right? Tulasi deki jodaya pran madhava toshani jani gaura priya shaka sevane jivana sarthakamani tulasi deki jodaya pran madhava toshani jani. Understanding that this Tulsi Maharani gives great pleasure to Lord Krishna, it just soothes my soul. So Tulsi worship, I'm sure in most of your homes, Tulsi worship is happening actually. And just thinking that she is so dear to Lord Madhava, when we worship Tulsi Maharani, and if one feels happy about it, that house is Vrindavan. గౌర ప్రియ శాక సేవన జీవన సార్థకమాని అండ్ ఆనరింగ్ దట్ శాక్ సబ్జీ విచ్ వాస్ వెరీ డియర్ టు చైతన్య మహాప్రభు. ఇఫ్ వన్ ఫీల్స్ దట్ ఓ ఐఎమ్ ఈటింగ్ దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ అ ఫేవరెట్ ఆఫ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు అండ్ ఫీలింగ్ జాయ్ ఫార్ దాట్ అండ్ వెన్ ఐ ఫీల్ దట్ మై లైఫ్ ఇస్ సక్సెస్ఫుల్ ఐ గెట్ టు ఈట్ దట్ ప్రిపరేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ వెరీ డియర్ టు చైతన్య మహాప్రభు. That is perfection of life, right? Bhakati vinod krishna bhajane anukula paya jaha pratidibase param sukhe svikara koro yetaha. He says bhakti vinod krishna bhajane anukula paya jaha whatever is favorable for Krishna bhajan, anukul for Krishna bhajan, Bhakti Vinod wants to svikara koroyataha, he wants to accept all of that. How? Prati dibase, every day, paramasuke, with great joy. So whichever house in which the family members are dedicated to accepting whatever is connected to Krishna, whatever is favorable for their bhakti, with joy. Not with regret. Even though it may start with regret, but eventually it becomes joyful. Kintvadarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta swadvi kramad bhavati tadgada moolahantri. Right? Even though initially it may be bitter, but because we want, ultimately because Krishna is pleased, we accept it. Gradually it becomes very joyful also. So basically that's what here Bhakti Vinod Thakur says in this beautiful bhajan, which describes, you know, what is anukul for bhakti. If these anukul things are accepted in a household, the house becomes Vrindavan. So in this way, we could discuss the first topic only, which is, as I mentioned, householder life and Krishna consciousness. Are they actually compatible or incompatible? Of course, I wanted to discuss the second theme of Asat Sangha, but maybe some other time we will try to take that. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and and hopefully you will have some questions, so we can take some questions before we wind up for the day. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful Nectarian class with your PPT. It was so relishing, Prabhuji. So very, very saying about To reach Hari, we have to take the shelter of Hari and about the examples. So the examples, how the householder life in Krishna conscious it will be, whether it is compatible or incompatible. And you took verses from Bhagavatam 10.14.36, where Brahma offers prayer to Lord Shri Krishna. And he say how the household life in Krishna conscious should be when one is in Krishna conscious. And I have a question here, Prabhuji, actually. You told that when the house fully, if it is in Krishna conscious, then it is a temple. Otherwise, it is a prison. That means only one person, if he or she is in Krishna conscious and they not all the members in Krishna conscious, then that means to be a prison or what, Prabhuji?
Well, as long as the as the devotee is endeavoring then it's fine. At some point of our life, and then someone trusted us, someone gave us their time, someone gave us their affection, and that's why we are who we are today. So we could extend the same. Why go outside the house? We could extend the same to our family members. Then one day, they all will become devotees and the home will become Vrindavan.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. But what if it does not happen even if in this lifetime?
If in this lifetime it does not happen, then they would have accumulated sufficient Agyat Sukriti. In the next lifetime, it will happen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So my question was whether it is a prison or not, Prabhuji.
Well, no. The moment someone takes up to Krishna consciousness, the reason why it is compared to prison house, it means one hopelessly gets bound to this material world through the ropes of one's karma. So one's family members who refuse to take up to Krishna consciousness may still be bound to this material world through the ropes of karma. But the devotee who has taken up to Krishna consciousness, his next birth will be personally facilitated by Krishna. So there is no loss for the devotee who tries to be patient and tries to encourage the family members who are not so Krishna conscious.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And you were saying the examples about Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, and you were saying if Sankalpa, if a devotee is detached from what material thanks and he becomes attached to bhakti, Anukulyesha Sankalpa and Pratikulyesha Varjana. And you were saying about the Bhagavatam verses 4.22.40, where Brahmaji offers prayers to Sri Rupadakshayi, Vishnu, and Kunti prayers, and with the Uddhava prayers, everything Brijvasis, how they relish the Krishna Katha. So it was wonderful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And at last, the Kirtan was so wonderful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So devotees, if you have any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Please accept my message.
Oh, thank you so much for such an encouraging class. It was just perfect to hear all of those things. And very practical as well. And thank you, Anita Mataji, for your question, because that was also very helpful to me. I have a question about something I was just thinking of the other day. I am not sure exactly where this comes from, but I know that I've heard that for when someone becomes a devotee, they're actually kind of saving their saving generations back and forward. Mm-hmm. What I want to know, is that for a pure devotee or how does that work and where does that come from? I'm sorry.
Yeah, as long as whenever they perfect their life, then those who are connected to them seven generations up and seven generations down, they also perfect their lives.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. And also, I hope that you can come back and give the rest of your presentation, because I would love to hear the part about Asat Sangha if
yeah, I mean, Bhagavatam is filled with such in some episode or other it will come, Mataji. I mean, so yeah.
Yes, but I would like to hear your presentation on
same
it.
Same thing, of course.
Yes, because you always do. I love your classes because they're very comprehensive, and the way that you break them down is just really wonderful, easy for us to understand, and so much detail. So thank you very much for your association. I'm very grateful. Hare Krishna. Oh, and your singing voice. Yes, it was so nice to hear you sing today. Hare Krishna.
For a change.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Vinita Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Such a beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhu. It is so relaxing. Means always there is like, you know, if this is there, you cannot go. Or this is there, you will stop. But today's class is so pleasing because, you know, even this is there, you are a devotee. Someday you will come there. It is like that. So thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful class. Many examples of how the desires, you know, can be changed by constantly, you know, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hey, Krishna. Very grateful to you.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank
Actually,
you,
material
Mataji.
World is already, material world is already, you know, so difficult. And why do we have to make the process also all the more difficult? In fact, you know, that is why we directly read from what the Acharyas had written. You know, literally, I mean, this was not a Bhagavatam class, actually, if you had observed. This was just Bhagavatam reading. We just read together what Prabhupada had written, what Bhagavatam says, and what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur had written. We just read Bhagavatam together just to see what they have actually mentioned. So that we gain confidence. Otherwise, you know, we cannot just be speaking our opinions. It should be the words of the Acharya. So we just read, and that's what they say. So if at all you felt confidence and, you know, relief, that's exactly how the Acharyas want you to feel. That's exactly how Bhagavatam wants you to feel. It's not that I spoke that way or something. It's just that the Acharyas want you to feel that way. That is why Krishna says, Susukam Kartum Avyayam. The process of bhakti is very peacefully and pleasantly practiced, actually.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Only because you read in that way, we understand. Otherwise, alone we read, nothing is going to be getting into our mind, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your sweet association. It's really, really very, very nice, Prabhuji. Actually, right time, the class came for me. And I went through whatever I was feeling, little bit, you know, anxiety, where I'm going, whether I'm going in right path or, you know, whether I'm progressing or not. But, you know, today's class helped me a lot to get through out of it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinita Mataji. As you said, it's really true. Even I was also having some few questions like last 3-4 days. Around for past 1 week, I was having some questions dwelling in my mind. So I think I got answers today. So that's why when Prabhuji, even in his slide, I think starting of the slide, in one slide, I was having the question which he directly posted in the slide. I was so happy to see that and get the answer for it. Thank you, Prabhuji, so much. Anuradha Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for your realization. Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful, wonderful class. I mean, you made us feel that, you know, through Acharyas, that how Krishna consciousness is inclusive and not exclusive, and it's so accommodating. So thank you for that. Prabhu, I have a question that I often struggle in my own bhakti, that when do I know that when am I making an excuse or it is a genuine on me? I mean, just to give an example, if when I fall sick and I still feel that, you know, I should wake up early in the morning. Sometimes I don't know whether it is my mind or it is my body, Prabhu. And do you get my question, Prabhu? Could I
yeah.
make it clear?
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Well, this is, of course, to such, I don't know. I've heard such questions being asked to His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj. and he gives very funny answers. But actually, I found them very practical. But of course, I will state that answer, and I will give.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji has got frozen, he has got stuck. You got stuck, okay. Prabhuji.
I don't know till where you heard.
We did not hear anything,
Prabhuji. We did not get your answer.
So now can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu, very clear. Thank you.
Yeah. So actually, to such questions, I have heard His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj being asked this question. I was sitting right in front of him. Someone asked the same question. And he gave a very funny answer. I mean, I have a couple of times I have heard this answer from him. I will give that answer, and I will give my own 2 cents also. I will top up with my understanding. Maharaj, when such questions are asked, Maharaj says, use your intelligence. So he says, why don't you use your intelligence? You know, just introspect and ask yourself whether you are giving an excuse or it's a genuine need. That's one thing, which means. And the second thing is, if you have Krishna conscious friends whom you can trust, and whom you are willing to entrust your own spiritual life, or not entrust in the sense that you don't take responsibility, but you are willing to take guidance, and you can always present to them, what do you feel? Is it an excuse, or is it that I am trying to? So they may suggest, why don't you try this out and see how you feel? If you feel like this, then maybe you are giving an excuse. If you feel like this, maybe it's a genuine need like that. So that way we can always, one thing is to introspect, as what Maharaj suggested. Another thing is to take like-minded, affectionate, senior devotees who are well-wishers, their guidance, and see how it goes. That's what I would say.
Thank
okay?
you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhupada. Meanwhile, when you slightly touched upon it, I mean, you did touch upon it, but, you know, I'm not sure if this question is still valid, because you have mentioned about it. In the morning, today morning, Japa, I was thinking, I don't know what that life is, like a brahmachari or a sannyasi. They are always into Krishna consciousness directly. But for a person like me, who is also doing the household chores, so it's Krishna's house, but still, you know, but I need to think what my son needs to study today, or what I need to cook today. So japa is more absorbed into those than actual Krishna's pastime, or even hearing, where the pastime is very far from me, even hearing. And it's because I'm not doing enough of reading. While I understand that, and you also said that it is like the snake which doesn't have the teeth, like the things are there, that's what I understood. So how long can I be that snake that does not have the teeth, and what is the way that I become a genuine devotee? You know, Prabhu, it still feel like it doesn't feel very nice, though I cannot help, because I have to do all these things. I have to take care of it. I have to make sure my son study, so that, you know, he remain in the right path. While doing that, like, sometimes I feel I'm living in like 2 devotees' life or 3 devotees' life, you know. I have to be myself Krishna conscious and make sure that others are also getting prasadam and things like that. So I have heard from one of your Maharaj's lecture that do not desire for anybody else's life, because you have to take birth for that. So I'm not saying that a brahmachari life or sannyasi life is something that I desire, but at the same time, how do I perfect my right now situation?
I mean, the way you have described your typical day, it sounds very, very Krishna conscious to me, Mataji, actually, already. I mean, you don't have to do anything else, I feel. You are trying to chant your rounds. You are trying to take care and protect other people, your family members who are all devotees. You are trying to help them out with their Krishna consciousness. I mean, this is all pleasing to Krishna. What else you want to do, actually? This is perfectly fine.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Maybe I got very worried during Japa. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. I'll keep that in mind. Thank you. So please pray for me, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Anuradha Mataji. Deepika Keni Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanapada Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for today's class. You spoke so nicely about cultivation, how you can make your home, you know, how you can transform your home into a dham, you know, by installing DTs. I just want to share what I heard in a class. Is it okay, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
So, yeah, a senior devotee asked, you know, Grihastha, like, how many members in your
Mataji, we couldn't hear you.
We can't. Yeah, I can't hear. Yeah.
Is there anybody who would like to share anything in meanwhile? Hare Krishna Mataji, are you there? Yeah, I think she got disconnected. Shambhari Mataji, would you like to speak?
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanot.
Dhanot Mataji.
Very, very nice class and very nice guidance for the Grihasthas. We should, you know, always be, you know, in the so much in deity worship. And I think Mataji was saying that how many members you have, so they counted DTs also. So that's her. That is what it is. So, yeah, please need a lot of blessings, Prabhuji, to get that mood always in your, like, you know, it should be in our blood always. You should not forget Krishna.
Yeah, I'm glad that, honestly, I'm glad that devotee did not ask me, because if he had asked me, probably I would have given the same answer, you know. So, yeah, I wish I also developed that mode.
But we call it like Jagannath Nivas. But, you know, still, you know, no matter how much we do, we still feel like, you know, I'm like doing nothing. So,
that is best consciousness. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one question, Prabhuji. Actually, Krishna is saying that if we are in Krishna conscious, then our next birth, at least we will be having a good birth, which means in a good family, so which is practicing Krishna conscious or any devotional service. But in some lectures I hear, we don't know how our next life will be. So so that's why we have to intensely practice Krishna conscious. So that means that if we practice intensely, then we get a good life in next birth, or how it is, Prabhuji? I didn't understand this one.
Well,
did you get my question?
Yeah, I understood your question, Mother. I think I understood your question. Well, if you the principle is, wherever you left, Krishna will create an opportunity for you to move from there. So if you have practiced intensely, covered 80%, then Krishna will facilitate it so that you can start from 81% on whatever facilitation is needed. It need not necessarily be a Krishna conscious family also. It can be a non-Krishna conscious family, but you may get Krishna conscious friends, Krishna conscious college mates, whatever it may be. It could be anything. Somewhere down the line, according to Krishna's plan, you will get the facilitation. So if you have, definitely whether, whatever may be the reason, definitely one should practice intensely. With whatever intensity one can muster, one should practice intensely so that one can start the next life from where they left off.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. So, but we don't know that whether we will remember or not in next life. So, that was my question, Prabhuji. So, Krishna will help you.
Definitely, Krishna will help. Because Krishna says, Matta Smritir Gyanam Apohanam cha, I only give the memory, I only take that memory away, I only give the knowledge and everything. So, why would Krishna not give the memory?
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji.
Mataji, you are muted.
Sorry. Devotees, if any more questions there, you can go ahead. Or otherwise, we shall end our call here. Hare Krishna. So, we'll end up the call here, Hare Krishna. So, let's pay our obeisances to Balram Shakti Prabhuji. Mancha Kalpatri Balram Shakti Prabhuji Ki Jai. Bhakti Sangha Jabha Conference Call Ki Jai.